Heavenly Father, we absolutely invoke your presence here this evening in this meeting. We pray that you guide and direct everyone here in the paths that should go in, that help us to make good decisions. May everyone treat each other with respect, and that we are thankful to have this freedom in this country to govern ourselves. And we do thank you for this country where we have freedom and liberty that nobody else in the world knows. And we must thank you for that, because you have been with us for 240-some years. But Father, we pray that you would continue to be in the guidance of our country, but there are a lot of problems. And you know better than we all the problems that are out there. We pray for those in places that make decisions, and government officials at all levels. Pray that your will might be done, and tonight that the people of Brown County might be well served. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Additions or changes to the agenda? There may be a couple things we'll just speak to here tonight. No decisions are being made on. We'll talk about those and get down to the bottom. Mike Moger, are you with us?
There's no sound on the Zoom.
Oh. Okay,
is there
now?
Yeah. Yep,
you're good to go. Okay, we're good to go. Okay, pretty good. Minutes and claims. We'll have a chance to look at those. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a few questions on the minutes.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
This was great. This was provided to us. There was, last time there was something about the question of which contract you guys signed. Did you guys sign the right contract?
That's one thing we need to talk about, yes.
Okay.
I think there was a technical or clerical or stupid error. I don't know what you want to call it. We had two contracts in front.
Is this the right time to approach that contract?
The minutes?
But
well, I mean,
if you approve the minutes and you approve what's said. If it's incorrect, you're approving what was incorrect.
Well, it may be incorrect, but it is the minutes. And if the minutes reflect what was said, whether it's right or wrong, it's still the same.
Yeah.
I mean, because we may have made an errant decision, still the minutes reflect.
Everything was
what
corrected
we did.
And was the final version was voted on by the county council and approved. And that was the only version that we need to worry about. Because everything preceding that was just getting to the final version. So I don't know what do you mean, Ronnie?
Well, I think I know what he means.
Well, hang on just a minute. Now that you mentioned you opened the door for the county council. Are you there, Mike?
Yes.
Let me bring up something and you tell me if I'm wrong, which I might be. I know that he was contacted before the county council meeting, and I believe your reply is highlighted here. It says, a governing body member who participates in the meeting by an electronic means of communication shall be considered present for the purpose of establishing a quorum, but may participate in any final action taken at the meeting only if the member can be seen and heard. I don't know that.
And he was.
I don't know that he was needed to
be
there.
He was seen.
I understand, Blake. I'm not done. Let me finish. I don't know that he was there, needed to be there to make a quorum, but I know he was the deciding vote. If you go back up at the top under IC 5-14-1.5-3.5B, below says, however, there are exceptions that say you may not participate in a vote on final action. If the vote is regarding adopting a budget, making a reduction in personnel, And it's that part right there where it says making a reduction in personnel. I believe by establishing the new job position, you're basically putting the widow out of her job.
Why don't you let the lawyer...
Stop. Let the lawyer talk. Let the lawyer talk at this point.
Thank you.
Mike, do you have any opinion on that?
Sorry, you have to clarify, because I'm not aware of the situation you're talking about. I recall asking about whether or not a councilman can vote via Zoom, to which I said he can. You are correct, there are exceptions. So what was the specific vote? Because I was not a part of that vote, and I was not a part of that meeting when the vote happened.
It was 4-3. It was 4 for it, 2 no, and 1 abstain. That I believe the particular person you was asking about is the one that made the final vote. Which, if it's got anything to do with a reduction in personnel...
It doesn't have anything to do with a reduction in personnel. It's an expansion of the job, which is what we went through it for like a month, to get the thing right.
Let the attorney speak, please.
Well, I apologize. We're going to have to take this offline because I'm not aware of exactly what the vote was for. So I'm going to need to know more details before I can give a legal opinion on the matter.
Okay, sir.
Mike, let me see if I can clarify a little bit for you. The vote he's referring to was a vote by the county council to approve a new job description and a salary grade for that job. Which would be the commissioner's administrative assistant. And that vote was taken, and as Ron said, there were 4 in favor, there were 2 that were no, and there was 1 abstention.
Stand.
And so it passed by a majority of 4 out of 7. And I guess maybe the question is whether or not Scott Rudd, not being physically present, was entitled to vote.
But he was on the screen, so he was visible.
Who could see him? Because I couldn't.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Because you weren't really recognized, were you?
I'm just asking a question.
Can you just wait till the president recognizes
you? Absolutely.
Did you recognize Diane Devlin?
Yes, ma'am.
Who could see him via Zoom?
You got to come to the microphone.
There's no microphone, so who could see him via Zoom? I can speak loud enough for anyone to hear me.
Just wait a moment until we want to make sure you are recorded on the record. Okay. Got one that works.
This one work?
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, thank you.
We want to make sure that everyone is heard and...
My question was, who could see him via Zoom? Because I couldn't.
And who
nobody,
are you?
Nobody in the audience could.
So is it required that every single person within a 12-mile radius needs to see the person? You saw him standing. So, I mean, how many people, Mike, does it need to have that makes
it
official?
I'm not asking how many.
I'm asking the attorney now. Thank you.
Show a little respect.
I am. I asked the attorney.
You're getting loud.
Stay in your lane.
You're getting loud.
Stay
I'm
your
in
your
line.
Lane.
Gentlemen.
I'm not loud. I'm in line.
Gentlemen.
Good job, Jerry.
Gentlemen. Okay. One at a time. We don't need to argue about anything. Okay. But Blake was asking or presenting to the attorney either a question or a statement. I don't know which. So let him go. We'll let you go. Okay?
I was wanting the person in the audience to speak. You give her permission to come.
Right.
Microphone and speak.
Okay.
And Blake got loud and interrupted.
Did you get to say what you wanted to say?
I wanted to know whether or not, because I wanted the attorney to know that maybe only 1 or 2 people could see, was it required that everyone be able to see him? That is simple.
Mike, I believe the council, did they not call you about this issue at the council meeting of Monday night?
I did receive an email asking what were the requirements under the Indiana Code to vote via Zoom.
Okay.
How did that? Again, I was not aware of what the vote was for.
Okay, yeah. I explained that to you, so. But your opinion is that Scott was entitled to vote or not?
again, gentlemen, I'm still a little unsure of what exactly happened. If someone could kind of give me a call, maybe take this off the line and explain this so I can ask some questions. You know, there may be some certain things here that we cannot talk about yet at a public meeting. Just, again, I'm not sure of the details. I'd rather understand everything before we speak in a public meeting about this.
Okay, would you...
Mr. President?
Yes, Scott. Yes, Scott.
Thank you for a second here. Yeah, we checked in on this. I was out of town for work, and we checked with Mike ahead of the meeting. I'm on the county council, and ahead of the meeting, I want to make sure, because we've had lots of back and forth through the pandemic with how you can vote, when you can vote, when you can't vote. Some new rules were passed. We had to adopt policies, and if anybody's been to a council meeting, they know I'm the stickler for following those particular policies. And so I contacted our president, who I believe is also on the call today, Gary Hewitt, said, hey, you know, on this issue, let's double check. We're no longer in an emergency, but there are some exceptions, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, Mike, to clarify, we were approving a position. We aren't cutting a position. We were approving a job description and a pay grade. My understanding was that was okay at the time, and if that's changed, it's changed. But I just want to clarify. Thank you, Mr. President.
Good. There was no reduction in employment with that particular issue and the vote that was taken on it. It was actually to create a new position for a new employee.
But it's getting rid of an employee. You're basically taking the money out of the budget.
Expanding an existing position.
Yeah. I don't want to argue. I just want to speak.
No, really?
Yeah, I'd like to speak.
Okay.
And I'd like to try and clarify this to Mr. Mogul, right, and then I'll make a call to Mr. Mogul.
Okay. Go ahead.
One more time. It says a governing body member who participates in a meeting by an electronic means of communication shall be considered present for the purpose of establishing a quorum. He wasn't needed to establish a quorum, but may participate in any final action taken at the meeting only if the member can be seen and heard. It sounds like he could be seen and heard by some. But I think my main concern is the part, however, there's exceptions. And I would like the exceptions clarified. I may be wrong. But the exception says that you say you're not participating in a vote on final action, a reduction in personnel. I feel like it's a reduction in personnel.
What's not? I mean, that's obvious.
That's your opinion, sir.
That's pure math, my friend.
That's your opinion, sir.
You know what you need, sir. If you want to talk to Mike privately, but I want Scott Rudd to talk to him as well.
That's fine.
Because let's get this straight.
That's fine.
We worked through this a long time. We got to pass through a lot of stuff, and you still want to drag this through the mud.
I'm just trying to get it right, sir.
It was right.
Okay, gentlemen. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah.
Sometimes he can bring us a bit of wisdom that we don't otherwise have.
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That might be good.
Hey, Jerry, what I heard at the council meeting, and they asked specifically, is that position, the temporary position, is going away. And you mentioned you talked to the employee, and they said they were good with it. So at the end of the year, that position was going away, and then you asked for immediate funding on that position and then continued funding. But you did specifically talk to the employee and said that part-time position was going away. That's on the table.
That's true, yes.
So,
yes, she had voluntarily agreed to leave employment.
But my contention,
she doesn't need the money.
My contention is, Mr. President, that it's a position that is one person is in, one, you know, is leaving. I mean, it's just like an employment issue. I mean, we're not adding anybody, we're not getting rid of anybody, except by their own volition. So I mean, one position expanded, approved, gone over a million times. So, I mean, let's drag it through the mud as much as we can, but can we finally get to the end result?
Essentially, we are taking what was two part-time positions, or at least one part-time and one very low-grade position, job description, and replacing with one higher responsibility position as a full-time, one full-time employee, to replace those two. So it's a matter of technicality whether you say we're reducing anything. We're actually adding a higher rated job.
And honestly, Mr. President, the position's open to anybody, so anybody that wanted to leave, if somebody that was in there on a part-time basis wanted to apply for the full-time basis, that would be perfectly fine.
Sure.
What if you had somebody willing to do the job for free?
Well, you're not going to have that, Ronnie. We're not going to have that, Ronnie. Okay?
I'm going to say we do. We got some hands up in the audience.
Diane, what's more? I'm going to give this another few minutes, and then we're going to move on.
Well, you're going to need a couple of minutes for what I have to ask, if you don't mind. Yesterday, you just said that you had nobody in mind, but it's funny, you spoke with someone, and I know this for a fact, that you said, aren't you glad that Melissa's coming back?
When did I say
so,
that?
I believe this was yesterday, and I'm not going to say who you said it to.
Well, and so you're going to have a hearsay?
I'm just stating the fact that was something,
you know,
I was told. I am speaking, so let me speak. You want the respect, I deserve it too.
You need to stop it.
You're way out of bounds. Way, way out of bounds.
Okay, so also...
Somebody said to somebody, and that's what you're coming with?
They told me.
Oh,
that this is what
they told me. That's great. That'll work well in court.
But I'm just bringing up a point, sir. Okay?
Excuse me. I don't think we're here to listen to hearsay.
Okay, that's fine. I'll continue with everything else I have.
Okay,
I have the position, the job description right here. And I'd really like to know what the 9 things that were added to this, because I found a lot of things that I really am not sure why are even on here. Scheduling the use of the conference room. We all have that ability to do that ourselves in our own offices. Accepting bids, last I heard, that was part of the auditor's job. They accept those bids and hold them and bring them in confidentiality to the meetings. Page 1, third paragraph from the bottom, it says, assist the administration to enforce the policies, resolutions, communications with the county commissioners and executive. Who's executive?
So we are, and you know,
okay.
What?
You're going to
second guess the county council and the county commissioners because you didn't like the way something went? I just don't see.
No, I'm questioning the job description, sir. I'm a county employee and a member of the community.
It's way past that. It's way past that. It's been approved and passed.
Oh, wait a minute. But last night it was the other night it was approved, but it said changes were going to be made to it. Well, I found things wrong in it, so don't you want to correct it?
Why didn't you bring that up?
Because we weren't given the job description.
The ship sailed.
But we weren't given the job description. We didn't get the job description until yesterday. So how could I have questioned it? In that commissioner, in the council meeting, you heard me say when they said, how much should that pay grade be? I said, how would I know? I don't have the job description. Well, now I do, and I have questions about the job description.
This isn't the form for that. This isn't important. That's gone. It's done.
Diane, please. The county council was presented this job description, and it's their job to approve it or to disallow it.
And they approved it.
And
it's not
up
to, be made.
Not up to the other employees of the county or the general public to pass judgment or job description. We don't have the authority as commissioners to create and certify a job position. That is the job of the county council. They had their meeting Monday night. You were present. Many other people were present. That was your chance to question, okay?
How could I question something that I couldn't see?
Well,
now that I can see it, I'm questioning
because... You've got to take that up with the county council.
But isn't that you? that created this job description? Wasn't it the county commissioners?
It doesn't matter who created it.
So I'm questioning you about how you created this.
The county council has to approve it, and they did approve it, okay? And it's a done deal, okay? So let's move on to something else.
Let me add one more.
Joke of government.
Now, Jerry, I think that Tim Clark, the issue came up last meeting, and the position description was announced. I had a copy of it. I posted it on the Grand Canyon Matters. And then we came to the meeting. He said, hey, it was a mistake, honest mistake. Like you said, you didn't know anything about it. And then we had that psychic hotline kind of comment to Ron. So that's all on tape. But he said you didn't know anything about it. So I don't know what the context for that statement was. But you didn't vote on
that. You're not going to get snarly, are you?
Pardon me?
Or you're not going to get snarly, are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
And so the point is, I don't recall that you voted, the commissioners voted on that position description. Jerry, you alluded to, you know, you thought about it, the council hadn't approved it, it may be in 2024. I mean, generally, you had the general concept you discussed, but you didn't identify that that was a done deal. And so I saw it on the council agenda, but you guys didn't vote on that. So I guess my question to Mike Moga, I mean, was the commissioners required to take a vote to add that position? And the other point, you talked about free. I'll be glad to do the job for free. I saw what you posted on that. So whatever for Mike Logan, whatever you need for a volunteer to say, hey, I can do that job, be glad to do it for free. Whatever the technical requirements you need, you might have Mike Logan review it, but be glad to do that. You know, I'm more than aware of what goes on. I'm interested in learning more. So. More than qualified for it, and so whatever you need, you want to post that as a volunteer position, whatever the requirements are, tell me. I'd be glad to do it free.
I'm not really sure where you're coming from. If you want to post it, it's already been posted. It's already been done. It was voted on. We created the description, and the county council approved it.
You didn't vote on it at a commissioner meeting.
So
you don't have to vote on it as commissioners?
Well, let's let legal counsel answer that, Mike. Mike Mosley?
Yes. So, again, gentlemen, this is something that I do not have all the facts in front of me. I was not a part of the vote. This is something I'd like to take offline with the commissioners and the council so I can hear from both sides exactly what happened as opposed to hearing this secondhand. So again, I would recommend we take this offline so I can hear from both sides exactly what occurred and then I can give a valid legal opinion.
I will say this, though. The county council had to do something before we can, so we couldn't do it ahead of them. We weren't going through the process.
Fine, you haven't voted on it as a commission.
Let me give you a precedent. In October of 21, the county council approved a new job description for the commissioner's assistant at that time, which was a combination of the commissioner's assistant and an HR person. Then in October of 22, I believe, they split those two positions and created two new job descriptions, and all that was done without any vote by the commissioners, or even our knowledge in some cases.
Well, then my question to Mike Moga, is it a vote required by the
commissioners? He already said he's not going to do a vote until he goes through.
Okay, then it's not a
done deal. I understand that.
Then Blake, it's not a done deal. Until I see it in writing,
okay. Thank God that you are the judge and jury over
in writing to make an opinion. It's not a done deal until I see it in writing from attorneys saying the council can
approve
the position,
attorney, you're
the
not.
Don't have to approve.
Okay, let him work.
I'm not interrupting you.
You're so rude. Thank you.
Appreciate the comments. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So Mike Moga, we want you to look into this and find out what's legal, what's not for us, whether we should have had a vote or not. It's been done without our vote in many, many instances over many years in the past. The county council's responsibility is to create the job descriptions and authorize the pay for it. We can ask them for anything, but it's their decision, and, you know, I don't know that we have to vote on it, but maybe we did. Okay? So let's leave this to Mike Moga until we hear back from him, and we'll move on.
I'm trying to
approve the minutes.
I would like to add just a couple things for Mike to consider. In the budget, I have a budget here that says the job was for a county administrator. And they said they changed that to a county assistant. They changed the title of the job, but the job seems to me to be the same as an administrator. As a matter of fact, they abbreviated where it says administrator to ADMIN. That's the abbreviation for administrator. The abbreviation for assistant is ASST, period. So all the copies I've seen on the budget are incorrect as far as...
So you didn't hear the first thing about all the previous stuff that we got to the final version the county council voted on? So all the stuff that you're talking about was all corrected?
I've not been hard to understand? I'm a county commissioner now, and I would appreciate if I get a copy of the budget that you guys have done. If you're saying these are all gone, I would appreciate a copy of the new budgets. I think that's reasonable.
It's actually not finalized yet.
That's why we keep going
on. You're more than welcome to have every total sheet we have. And you've been invited to every meeting we've had that I know of in official capacity, okay?
This is all I've received.
Okay.
Let's go back to the minutes.
And if you don't get something that you'd like, please contact the auditor, or eventually we'll have an assistant.
Okay. Moving to the minutes, I was insulted by Mr. Walker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, it's in the minutes.
What this time?
Well, it's so. I don't want to repeat it, Blake.
The California psychic thing?
No, it was kind of in that realm.
Okay, well, here's the thing.
I don't want to mention it.
When you tell me how I'm going to vote before I vote, then I got to assume that there's some mystical power that you have. Because you told me that I was going to vote a certain way. How do you know how I am going to vote?
Well...
So, but be careful what you say.
Exactly.
Keep that in mind.
Exactly.
Okay, gentlemen, we are not here to argue about what happened at the meeting. We are only trying to prove that if the record that was recorded is an accurate one of what was said at that time. It doesn't matter if what was going on then was right, wrong, or indifferent. We're just trying to approve the minutes. Are the minutes accurate as to what actually happened? I don't care who said what, as long as the minutes accurately reflect exactly what was said.
And I had no problem with it, and I would be happy to move to accept them, but I'm sure Ron's going to...
Oh, yeah, I'm not done.
Yeah, of course you're not.
Well, if you want to talk about... I won't talk about the exact words you used, but I would like to talk about... You stated you didn't know anything about the new job opening.
Wait a minute. No. No. That is not open for discussion at this point in time, Ron. We are attempting to approve the minutes. Either the minutes are accurate, or if you want to make changes or suggest that it's inaccurate, please do so. And we'll talk about these other issues at the appropriate time. But right now, we're on the minutes. Look at your agenda.
We're on the minutes.
The approval of the minutes and the claims is where we are on the agenda, folks.
It's in the minutes,
Jerry. Are the minutes accurate?
Are the minutes accurate or not?
Well, that's up for debate.
What?
If I can't speak about the minutes, how can I...
Well, she...
Well, you're not speaking about the minutes. You're trying to bring up other issues that have nothing to do with
the minutes. I'm sorry, Jerry. I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I'm leaving.
Let's move on. Come on, please.
Can't do it without the auditors.
I hear it. Hear the motion to approve the minutes.
No, I'm gone.
You can't prove anything without the secretary, which is your auditor.
And I'm out of here. I'm sorry. I'm not going to listen to everybody argue all night long.
I'm sorry.
That's not
Brown County. I'm trying to get it back on track. We're going to move forward from here.
If we're going to talk about the minutes all night long.
No. We have a motion to approve it. Okay.
Okay. You guys hire somebody to do the minutes. Because I'm not anymore. If we're going to bitch about them every time I do a minute, I'm not doing them. I don't have to be here. It's not in my job description.
Somebody from the auditor's office has to be here.
Yeah, and Jill's on vacation, I'm the deputy, I'm not doing it.
You just stay here for this meeting, I'll promise you.
If we quit talking about the minutes and how screwed up they are.
We have a motion on the floor, so there's no more discussion, okay?
I'm just talking about the minutes, I'm not saying they're all screwed up.
No. We're trying to approve the minutes, we have a motion to approve. I know you won't second it, right?
To approve these minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I will second.
Okay, that's fine. We have a motion to second.
He's approving the 91 pages of minutes.
That's correct.
Not mine.
That's correct.
Those have not been of record.
Do we have to approve them?
I mean, did you guys read the 91 pages of them?
Several times.
Okay, if you want to approve those, I will print those out and that will be the record.
Thank you.
I will not have to do them anymore.
Okay.
But if I don't understand, I can't read those 91 pages and understand them because it's speaker one, this, speaker two, this. And part of it's not, you can't even recognize it to see what it is.
Was this part of our last meeting?
What? Those 91
pages?
I did the 91 pages transcript after Ron said my minutes were not adequate.
Well, your minutes were adequate and his aren't. So I'm not
going to. Thank
you. So I'm not going to go for those.
Okay.
I'm going to go for hers.
And Ron won't.
She's the professional. She's the professional.
Yeah, I approved the 91 minutes, the pages, I mean.
Is there a motion to approve those 91 pages?
There's a motion to approve yours.
There's a motion to
approve. Now, they're changing the motion, so I'm
well,
not
no,
second.
No, no, you pull up the 91. I'm saying what was the original?
Stop!
Let's just approve.
Just go on with the meeting.
The minutes.
Who's up there speaking?
No, that's Julie.
Yes.
Don't.
Identify yourself through the phone on Zoom.
This is Julie.
Okay,
make
Julie Reed.
The minutes.
Okay, all right. Do you have something to say?
Yes. Please just go on with the meeting and don't upset my person.
Try not to. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's just approve. At this point, I will approve the minutes.
I ask that we table the minutes until next
meeting. You want to table them?
Okay.
Motion?
Thank you.
Motion to table them.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Let's move on. Okay, we're now down to the County Office Department reports, boards and committees. And the first thing on the agenda is the rezone of the Smith property. And I believe we have our plan director here. And if she would please come and give us at least an introduction to this subject.
All right. I will not read the whole staff report unless you would. I'm sorry, cousin. What about the claims?
Yeah, we didn't vote on the claims. We never got to. Okay. You guys.
I didn't see anything that I was amiss with. I mean, I would be happy to make a motion to approve the claims.
The only claims I was given was on the commissioner's side. I asked someone in the auditor's office to email me the rest of the claims, and I never received it. He said that I had everything. As far as those claims, there is just one question on the commissioner's side, and it's about litigation with Barnes and Thornburg for $966.50. Do you have any idea what that's for, Mike?
Can you give a description of what the case was? Actually, hold on. I'll look it up.
It's 31005 and then 007454, I believe.
I'll look it up.
Okay, sir.
As for the claims, Mike Magner did approach me before the meeting, and he has six claims that need to be paid. That's to Napa, Palms Tire, OMAC Truck, U.S. Aggregates, mm-hmm. West Side Truck, and Palmer Trucks. And here are the individual numbers and the total.
I have them.
Yeah, okay.
We want to get those done before the end of the month.
Yeah, he wants to get them done before the end of the month.
Was this provided 5 days before the meeting?
No, I gave to you guys.
You've seen these?
In the, like, yes, I did. Okay. So, but it needs to be paid, right?
Yes.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Motion to approve these particular items for the Michaels Department. Do I hear a second? Hearing none, I'll second the motion. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Okay. Now, besides what we have, claims, I have received a couple of invoices for the coroner's office. By the way, it's almost done. We hope in a week or two to actually be in. But we started getting some of the bills from the constructors. One is from M&G Electric, and as far as I know, this came in way under their proposal to begin with. Because they're done, they gave me a bill for $6,975. Their estimate and their proposal was over
$10,000. Is this electric or gas?
Both. The furnace and the water heater would be natural gas because everything else is electric.
Right.
Was that presented 5 days to
I've had it for several days. I don't know. Dr. Z, I brought it with me. If you don't want to prove it, that's all right. I was trying to help you guys out. And I also have one from Joe Snyder for the rough end of the ducts and the gas line for that same building for $5,000.
So they want to get paid?
Well, they'd like to get paid, I'm sure, but we don't have to do this tonight.
We don't mind having to pay our bills. I mean, I'd be happy to make a motion to pay the bills. Then that's the motion.
I just didn't get it done because these guys all asked for half down before they started work, and none of them required that.
Thank you.
They're giving me a bill when they're done.
Right.
So as a courtesy, I'd like to pay them as soon as I can. Okay, so you'd make a motion to pay M&G and also Snyder HVAC?
I did.
Okay. Do I hear a second? Hearing none, I'll second the motion. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay. Okay, now we'll move on to the actual claims from the auditor's office, which have been sent to us via email. I looked them over, I didn't have any questions.
Did you get all of them, or did you just get this up?
I got what was sent to me by the Doug.
Two, three, four. I got six.
Eight.
And if you look at that stack that they're wanting us to approve, is that it?
No. This is...
No, over there, in the blue. Am I wrong? Is there more claims than this?
Let's see what you got there.
If this is all it is, other than me asking Mr. Mogul about what that bill is for, might be all the phone calls I called.
There's three pages.
There is. I got six pages.
One, two, three. Now we'll go on page four. This is what.
So if you look, they keep coming.
These are.
This blank.
These are the ones to be signed, yes.
I'll approve the ones on the commissioner report, contingent on seeing what Barnes and Thornburg billed for. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't want to vote on that because they weren't sent to me. And I did ask, and he said he didn't know what claims I was talking about. And I believe I have that in the email.
This is one for weather cleaning.
Okay.
You haven't seen these?
No.
You haven't seen these?
No, you guys can go ahead, though. I just thought I'd explain last time or time before that voting for 75 days before the claims was in. Those claims may have been in 5 days before. And I asked him to be sent to me so I could print them and have them. And he seemed to think there may be a glitch in the computer. He may think he sends them to me, but he don't. So you guys go ahead.
Well, that's, this is what I
do. You feel comfortable doing it. And they may be correct.
Yep.
We may not be committing a Class C infraction.
This is what I got from Doug.
Yeah.
He said the claim was made by email.
He didn't send you all those, though, did he? Hmm? He didn't send you all of those. Like I say, even if he didn't send those all to you, they may have been there 5 days before.
Well, yeah. But I'll have to go back and look, but there were extensive number of pages.
Right.
The claims that I looked at. It wasn't just 6 pages.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you want to order a pizza?
There's also a pizza.
Hey, Doug. Here. Hey, Doug.
Come, can I answer that question for you?
Sure. Yeah, hey.
Doug Keaton, auditor's office.
Yes, sir.
Ron, the difference is there's claims that the commissioners approved
correct
prior to payment, and there are claims that are paid prior to this meeting, and you approve them after the fact.
So those are all in the category of 14 claims?
I don't know what you mean, 14 claims. There's
14 different claims that you can pay, like medical,
yes,
utilities.
There are certain lists we can pay without any approval.
Correct.
And then you get the sheet after the fact.
Okay. So all of those are in the 14 item.
That's correct.
Okay, that's a good explanation. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that. Okay.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve the claims, whatever was left over after we did the special ones here from Mike and the coroner's office. Do I hear a second?
I thought you got the right answer there, Ron. You still don't want to do it, huh?
I'm still thinking a little bit. You might have to think.
No, I don't read there.
I give you a minute to think.
I'm gonna take it on good faith because they did send me an email saying 5 days ahead of time that the claims were in. So I'm gonna second it. Can we approve the claims?
Okay, motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Claims are approved.
Sorry, Caleb. Okay. Are we good?
All right. I think we finally got through the approval of the minutes and claims.
I did give you guys a certification. So this matter went before the Area Plan Commission. There were 5 members present. 5 members voted to send a positive recommendation to you all on a rezone from R2 to FR, which is Forest Reserve. And I'll just kind of highlight a couple of this, unless you want me to read the entire staff report. That's up to you.
How long is it? 3 pages?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Staff report for Smith Rezone, docket number 23-RZ-05. The hearing date before the Planning Commission was June 27, 2023. The request is to rezone approximately 9.134 acres from secondary residential R2 to Forest Reserve, FR. Petitioners and owner, Courtney and James Smith. The location of the property is 9696 Nineveh Road. The site is on the northwest side of the road in Hamlin Township, approximately 0.4 miles southwest of the Brown County-Johnson County line. Zoning and current land use. The property is currently zoned secondary residential. It has a residence and a garage. General findings. 1, the home is currently being remodeled as it has been vacant and has subsequently fallen into disrepair. 2, the property is located outside the 1% annual chance flood area per the effective rate and flood insurance rate map. 3, although electric service has not been restored yet, electrical service is provided to the area by South Central Indiana REMC. 4, water service is provided to the property by Orchard Street Water Conservancy District. 5, adjacent properties along the county roads are zoned secondary residential, R2, and Forest Reserve, FR, zoning to the rear of the properties. There is a general business zone property, which is still in Brown County, roughly 300 feet northeast, just over a half mile into Johnson County, still on Nineveh Road, exists a pizzeria, a liquor store, and a Dollar General. 6, the petitioners own Smith Paving and Excavation and would utilize the acreage to store the large equipment, vehicles, and tools used in their business. Other than the occasional pickup or delivery of the stored equipment, no employees would work at the site. 7, as employees would not be working from the property, no restroom is planned in the barn, and as such, no septic information was required. 8, there is a current driveway to access the residence and the garage. To separate the residential use from the proposed industrial use, a new driveway directly off Nineveh Road is planned. 9, in a letter dated May 12, 2023, the Hamblin Township Volunteer Fire Department stated that in the event of an emergency, the current structure could be accessed by emergency vehicles. 10, the normal business hours are Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. with the expectation of very limited traffic generated per day. 11, petitioners wish to build a 40-foot by 100-foot barn to store some of the large equipment used in their paving business. Some outdoor equipment storage is expected. A security fence is planned around the perimeter of the storage area. 12, according to the Brown County Zoning Ordinance, general industrial use means manufacturing, processing, extraction, heavy repairing, dismantling, storage or disposal of equipment, raw materials, manufactured products, or waste, and some operations other than transportation are performed in open areas. 13, general industrial use is allowed in FR, Forest Reserve, and industrial zoning districts with special exception approval. 14, the special exception approval industrial uses are allowed in Forest Reserve districts but are not permitted in secondary residential districts. 15, if rezoning to Forest Reserve is successful, the petitioners agree to seek special exception approval for general industrial use from the Board of Zoning Appeals. 16, the Brown County Comprehensive Plan under overall goals provides to consider the impact of changing land use development on adjoining landowners. As nearby properties are zoned secondary residential or Forest Reserve, FR, the industrial use will require Board of Zoning Appeals and oversight. Staff finds no evidence that granting of this request will have a negative impact on nearby properties. And then Indiana Code 36-7-4-603 describes the criteria to be used for review of zoning requests by the Plan Commission and the legislative body. Both shall pay reasonable regard to A, the comprehensive plan, B, the current conditions and the character of current structures and uses in each district, C, the most desirable use for which the land in each district is adapted, D, the conservation of property values throughout the jurisdiction, and E, responsible development and growth.
Okay, thank you.
Having already looked at that, and coupled with the fact that it has been already unanimously approved by the Planning Commission, I would make a motion to approve.
Are the applicants here?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Just a couple of questions. I guess my only concern in that, there's one phrase in there about dismantling equipment. We don't want this to be a salvage yard, okay? No, I understand. I mean, that's controversial enough if I don't go any further, okay? Nobody wants a salvage yard next door.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
But this is a limited number of pieces, probably of heavy equipment. You're not going to have torn down bulldozers sitting around going dust.
For the record, my name's Mike Conner. I'm attorney Mike and Courtney Smith yes. here. And just to be clear on that, it is not a service area. It's other than doing own equipment, and that may require a case of dismantling, but it's not a metal salvage yard. It's not a waste disposal. And the traffic issue is that this is generally out in the morning, back in the evening type of use, not a in and out throughout the day.
Okay. All right, thanks, sir, for clarifying that.
I'd like to ask a question, too.
Sure, go ahead.
Is there no septic site at all on the working septic on the property?
Well, there's residents on the property, so yes, there is for residents, but the building that was mentioned would be built as not intending any employees to be there during the day, so not planning to plot that and have a septic dedicated after. The residence has a septic.
So the residence there, is that going to be used as an office or is it a residence?
It will remain a residence.
Pardon?
That was Courtney Smith. It'll be remain as a residence. That's why it's being remodeled now.
Okay. If somebody has to pee, they can go into the house maybe and use the bathroom. Thank you.
Well, it does say no employees will work at this site.
Yeah, that's it. Because it's just come pick up the equipment, go to a job site. This is not a job site. This is just pick up equipment to go to a job site.
No septic information was required. The normal business hours are Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., with an exception of very limited traffic generated per day. And you're going to build this big 40 by 100 barn, and according to Brown County zoning, general industry means manufacturing, processing, extraction, heavy equipment repair, dismantling, storage, or disposal of equipment, raw materials, manufactured products or waste, and some operations other than transportation are performed in the area. I don't see how anybody's going to be there from the hours that you're proposing and not have to use bathroom.
Well, let me clarify. Hours of operation means when there may be a reason that somebody comes there to park a vehicle, drive a piece of equipment, and take it to the job site. They will not be remaining at this site. They simply get there to pick up and take equipment elsewhere and return at the end of the day at the end of the job. So they're not there throughout the day. That's what we're trying to say, which is why anticipation of us having that there'll be no employees working on the site, because this is not the job site. This just becomes more of a storage area. It would be a secure storage area. You know the problems. You cannot leave equipment out someplace. You can't park it out, not behind a secure inside a building or behind a secure fence, because it's not going to be there for long. They're in usable shape. So it's to build a site, to build a building, be able to securely store the equipment, come there, pick it up, take it to a job site, return at the end of the day, and that's it. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I made a motion to approve.
Yeah. Any further questions? Is there any comment from the audience?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you guys, you know, having business in Brown County and trying, you know, doing what you can to shore up the tax base. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, we are pro-business, as long as it's appropriate for Brown County. And if it's appropriate for Brown County, I'm all in favor of more business, because that means more taxes, more revenue for everybody to help finance the county government. Okay? All right, we have a motion. We got here a second. Hearing none, I'll second the motion. Any further discussion? Nope. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Nay.
Thank you
all. Sandy has that. Yes, thank you. Sandy has the ordinance.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We need to talk a little bit maybe about the jail air conditioners. Ron, you've taken the ball on that, and I appreciate that. You've been on the roof. I don't want to climb on the roof. I fell off one, and I don't want to fall off another again. So,
well, you're saying you're handing me the ball. So you trust me to work this $606,000-plus deal.
We want to know what you believe and what you found out. Give us the information. And of course, it'll have to be an approval of the board. But, you know, yes. Basically, we have 11 air conditioners that service the jail. I think two of them right now are not working. At least one's not working. And we are fearful that we may lose some of the others. If they're getting towards their useful life, 17 years. We like to think the AC unit furnace is good for 20 years. Some go 30 years. Some don't make it to 17.
Well, if they're not working, they haven't made it.
The ones that are not working, they didn't make it, yeah, okay.
And I would suggest those are the ones we work on, if we can find the money. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah.
I believe it's the last meeting we had the conversation. If it was less than $50,000, we didn't need approval. We could, if we got bids, we could go ahead. And I actually believe if it's less than $150,000, if we get three quotes of people who do that business, we should be able to go ahead and spend the $150,000, or just a tick under, if we can identify where the money's coming from. If that money's not been appropriated, we might get wrote up in the next audit for that. Do you have an opinion on that?
In terms of what?
Trying to locate the money and move forward, replacing two or maybe three of the air conditioners, especially the ones that have failed, even though it may not be in the capital improvement section.
Again, Rob, can you specify what your question is? I'm not clear on what your question is here.
We're wanting to spend money on the jail ACs. We have a couple that evidently have failed or not working properly. I was concerned about five of them. We need to identify the ones that are not working and see if that money can be worked to where it's under $150,000. And if we're going to be allowed to spend under $150,000, the thing is, I don't know if the money's there. I don't know if we're going to get wrote up. The only other way we could probably go is if they fail, I think it would be considered an emergency, and we may be able to go at that route.
Well, he wouldn't really know whether we got the money or not. Are you asking him that? Because he didn't know what money we got.
That's correct. If we can identify the money, but if it's not in the capital improvement section, we could get wrote up in the next audit. Is that clear as mud to you, sir?
So as long as the money's there and you follow the correct procedures, then you can do this project. But if you're asking me whether or not the money's there, like Blake is saying, I'm not sure.
We have to identify that.
See that documentation to confirm where the money's coming from, if that's a concern.
Okay.
Let me interject, if I may.
Sure.
We do have $75,000 out of the $3 million capital proof loan left.
That would work
to spend on those air conditioning units. Originally, there was $250,000 in that particular earmark, but we had to use $175,000 of it to make the courthouse happen. But we do have $75,000 specifically earmarked for replacement of air conditioners there. Now, that's not going to replace five of them. We both know. We've both seen the numbers. But
if we can replace a couple that are down.
Yeah. And the ones that are down, I know one is, there's actually only one that's completely down, to my understanding. And it's a smaller unit. I forget what area it services. Then we have a second unit, which actually is on its reserve. These units have two compressors in them. I didn't know this until I'm delving into it, though I've ever dealt with a few residential units. But this second unit has redundancy in the compressors, and one of the compressors is burned out. So it's running on the alternate compressor right now. So it's not completely down, but it's in bad shape. So
do you know of any other money?
Well, we could look at all the lines in our budget this year and see what's left in. I mean, we have other accounts such as there's a number of maintenance accounts. There's some account for buildings that could probably be moved over to do part of that job. Probably would have to be with the approval of the county council. But yeah, there's some other money that possibly could be shipped over there.
Hang on a second. We've got wisdom coming here from the superintendent of the highways.
I was just going to tell Jerry, if any line items if it's already identified as a maintenance item, you can spend it. If you've got money in another fund, the only thing you have to do is get it on the council agenda and ask for it to be reappropriated.
Yes.
You mean an additional appropriation?
Yes. Well, it's additional, but it's from your own money. You just need to move it to a different line item. And it's not within that
additional appropriation, but it still has to be
Because you're changing fund numbers, so you just have to move it.
And that number does have to be under $150,000, Mike?
Yeah, and if you want to do the three quotes, correct.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think we should proceed to identify the units completely down, the ones on its last leg, and see what costs to replace those. If 75 will do those two, we can go ahead and get them done.
I don't think 75 would do it.
But if it doesn't, then we'll look to see if we might find something in other maintenance accounts. Or I know there's one called Buildings that had $100,000 in it, and that's to be used for maintenance of buildings, I believe. Once again, we just got to look at it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's basically what I wanted to do. I was trying to find out so we know where we're going with these. And I don't know that we have to take a vote on this. It's maintenance. I mean, that's... Unfortunately, being commissioner means that you own everything in the counties. Our name's on the titles to vehicles, it's on the deeds to real estate. Brown County commissioners own a tremendous amount of infrastructure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not really ours, but it's ours to take care of while we're in office.
Absolutely. So,
but I think as far as maintenance goes, we don't really need to vote on that. We just need to take care of it.
Okay. Need to figure it out.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good. Let's go on to the mural that we, I believe, approved at our last commission.
We did.
Yes, we did approve it. There was a question about the insurance. We received a certificate of liability insurance from the artist, Mr. Kirk Abelman. But unfortunately, the certificate of liability insurance had a start date of 7/14/23, and it had an end date of 7/14/23. It was only good for one day.
Maybe he's quick. Maybe he's quick.
But we did get a revised certificate that shows it going out for 1 year to 7/14/24.
Okay.
So I think that satisfies us for making sure that it's. He has insurance recovery if anything would happen there.
So is there any motion needs to be made on that? Or no? Just
I don't
just
clean, think clean we do. Enough. Just clean enough
thank
here.
You. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, I want you all to know what's going on. I mean,
that's a good, that's a good you know, question.
I mean, gosh. Okay.
We have to have, has ever signed the contract for that?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Yeah, we did sign it, I'm sure.
Two signs and then one day. Ron didn't.
Okay, wait a minute. I think I just signed it and I have it right
here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I have a certain number of things to give you when we get done here. So I'll take care of that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now, I want to talk about the Salt Creek Trail. And I think I mentioned this at our last meeting, but basically we have section number one and three, or two, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, we've got trail on both ends that's done or about done. We got the middle section left. We go from the Y to basically the campground out there, Parkview Road, mm-hmm. which would complete the trail, which would be a total of about 3 miles from CBS in Nashville to the state park. Mm-hmm. And we did understand from DNRs and folks there that they have figured out how they're going to get into the park. They're going to build another piece of trail to take around so you have to go through the gate to get in the park. Instead of just coming off the bridge and you're in the park, we know they want to collect the gate fee, so that's only fair, I guess. So, but I do have a team of volunteers that have stepped forward. Mike Magner is one of those. Kim Robinson is another. We have a couple of folks from DNR, and I don't remember who all. You remember Mike? No missing. Myself.
Mark Shales, maybe?
Mark, yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. And I learned not long ago that there was funding available through the governor's Next Level Trails program, and those folks are working on getting the application in before their deadline of July 30th. And we think that it's probably going to cost around $2 million to finish the trail. It's the longest section, includes a bridge that we have to pay for, unlike the two we got for the free from Indoc. And we will have to come up with a 20% match. Okay, that sounds scary at first, but there is money left over from the first section of the trail. There is some money from the Community Foundation, I believe we identified, is available to help that match, and possibly some other sources. I would like to think we get it done without using any taxpayer money. That's my goal. But whether you like the idea of the trail or not, we've got both ends we need to finish. Okay? So I just want to bring you up to date on that. Nothing really to vote on here tonight, but I want you to know what's going on and how we propose to get done. Of course, we'll have to negotiate some easements from at least a couple of property owners in order to connect through. But we think that that's within the realm of possibility to get those easements, and hopefully without having to pay on the lay for them. So we'll see that how that works out down the road. But we are going to finish the trail.
Thank you.
All right.
We can hey, Jerry. Back to the road.
Yes.
The application is actually due by August 1st, but from our standpoint, it'll be on Monday. But I can bring you a packet once we get all the documents summarized, all the information put together. Then I can bring you an update
at the
next meeting.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mike.
Jerry, question?
Yes, Tim.
Yeah.
On the $2 million, are you talking about the property through Mike Magner's son's property in Snyder Farm, that $2 million?
I think that's the only two private landowners
so that's have to deal with. That's the only thing in the budget is the $2 million to buy those easements for those two properties?
No, that's construction costs.
That's just construction. It's not acquisition, land acquisition?
No, they don't know what that is yet.
Okay.
Because they'll have to go through appraisals and the whole thing.
I thought that seemed kind of low. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's been the estimated construction all along since we originally started out with the federal funds.
Originally, it was at 1.7 or 1.8. We just figured by now it's probably a few million. Yeah.
Inflation.
That doesn't include the acquisition of the right-of-way, but I have some ideas how this could be beneficial for both the trail and the landowners, so we'll see how it works out. Stay tuned. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is we were audited by the state fire marshal. Came in, looked at everything, and told us what we were doing wrong and what we were doing right and what we needed to do. So the biggest thing that we need to do is we have a problem with the exit that goes out through the hallway of the lower level between the auditor's office and what's now the IT room. Used to be the small meeting room. Okay. IT needs a secure area, so they put a lock on that door that's inside before you go in to the small meeting room and now their department. Well, if that's locked, you can't get out. There's an exit sign there, but if the door's locked, you can't get out. So you have to have that open so people can get out in case the place gets on fire or something worse happens. So we have to correct that, and we have to correct it pretty quickly. I have talked with the gal from the state that did the art, and sure we'll get it done, and I bought some time for it to be able to get that done, I believe. But I think our own maintenance men can probably do it. Well, we're just to build a wall that won't quite go all the way to the ceiling, so it doesn't interfere with HVAC or the lighting or anything else. That will come down between and close that hallway, which will make that room a little smaller. We'll put a door from there into the IT room. So I don't think it's going to cost a lot of money. And our guys can do it, and it's just a matter of the material.
And didn't they say, Mr. President, that if we didn't do it, then there's like a $250 a day fine?
Yeah. It's pretty stiff.
So it won't take long to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I talk for a second with Laura? Is that okay?
Yes.
This is Laura. Is that good?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
We did talk with Lonnie this week because we do need that wall to go all the way up. After thinking about a little bit about how our days go, we need it to be not completely. completely soundproof, but there are some times when people bring in some sensitive information to us when we're talking about it, and we just don't need every person touched, because that'll essentially become a hallway. We need a little bit more privacy than that. I think the Todd and Chris said that they could still accomplish everything, so I just wanted to update you on that part of that. So.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an engineer and certainly not a construction person, but it doesn't have to be actually drilled in and attached to the top. We just come up there so there's not enough room for somebody to lob a hand grenade over the
pole. I hear the conversation about the...
I hear the conversation. So I'm sure that can be accomplished. I'll work with the maintenance guys. The only other thing I had is I want to bring up about the broadband. Brown County is very, very fortunate in that we've had excellent coverage of the county due to RNC from both Jackson County and from the one in Martinsville. But we're still people who don't have high-speed internet. I got a call from one gentleman. He's 300 feet from the fiber, but he can't get hooked on. And he's very frustrated. I think he's trying to work up one of those satellites. Very slow and cumbersome. I know there's some money from the state. I've just seen some things online come to it. There is some money for filling in some of those spots that don't have service. I don't know exactly how the program works, but I think we need to look into that and see if we can help out those people that don't have high speed.
Agreed.
Because it's just, I'm sorry, but it's just about as important as electricity anymore. Sure. I mean, you can't do any kind of business without high speed. And, you know, it's just a big inconvenience for a lot of people. I mean, I pay all my bills online. I mean, I communicate online, email. I mean, I just do so much online, you know. I hardly ever buy a stamp anymore. I can do it on the plane. So,
yeah, the post office has been asking about
that. Yes, I'm sure. So, we probably need to, I'm not sure if we need to talk to IT about this, or, you know, Scott Rudd, I think, originally did most of the legwork that got us the RNCs to bring it in. He's on county council. He might be willing to look into this for us also. We'll figure out before the next meeting exactly how we want to approach the problem and try to help out these people that are out there in the cold. Mm-hmm. It's mostly people that are on Duke Energy. Mm-hmm. Mike's on one out there.
I might add to that, depending on whether they're on Jackson County or SEI, I just got a package yesterday from South Central. They're still building out sections of theirs. The project that they're looking at now to get permits to bore into roads is the whole southwest corner below TC Steel, Crooked Creek, all the way down to the lake, basically, is that whole southwest corner they're getting ready to do this summer.
Nice.
So that'll be a whole other section down there that they'll have, actually have fiber to the door.
Glad to hear that.
So they're still in process.
Yes, okay, I didn't know that. Good. So I'll talk
to you. Mr. President, it's Scott Rudd.
Yeah, Scott.
Real quick, the commissioner should have received a list of addresses from the Office of Community and Rural Affairs in the last 10 days, possibly. I think all the commissioners may have been CC'd on that or should have been. What we should do, and I'm happy to help, but what we should do in the meantime before our next meeting is send that list of addresses to Tom Riach and ask him to put those on a map for us. Right now it's just a list of probably 500 to 1,000 addresses, but if we can get Tom to address that for us, we could post it on the website, or put that on a map for us. We'll post it on the website. If residents see their address on there as unserved, that's good. But if they're not on there and they need service, that's when they need to do a couple things, and I can help kind of build out a page for that. So I just asked that we should have that list of addresses right now. So I forward that to Tom if you would, and happy to help with it for you.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. All right. I don't have anything further. Ron, do
Do you have anything else for this meeting?
You're saying the contract is off table. Can't talk about it.
I didn't say that. Which contract are you talking about?
The one you signed. Is that the correct contract?
Yeah. Let me see that. I know we talked about this earlier tonight. We had two copies of the same service agreement. This was for hiring Melissa Stinson as part-time basis.
As a consultant.
The budget.
As a consultant.
As a consultant, yes.
It has nothing to do with this because this is an open project.
We had, there were two identical agreements here. One, the only difference being section
DDC.
Yes. So the one says.
Actually, there's one that says she can work remotely.
Yeah.
There's one that says she can work, to work in person.
All those were gone, Ron. All those were gone.
Well, you would think I would be provided with an update.
Well, if this is going to take a long time, let's just take
No, it's not going to take long. So
I mean, it's done. It's already,
you've done a new contract.
Jerry, can I speak for a moment before the meeting's over?
I'm sorry?
I would like to speak before the meeting's over, please.
Absolutely. Okay, yes. Anyway, there were two different contracts here. One of them had section D in it, which said this service would be provided by the provider in person at the Brown County Commissioner's office. The alternative one
said it didn't have the language that it would be provided in the commissioner's office, which made it mean she could work remotely.
Right.
And I thought that you guys approved the one where she could work remotely.
We took that out immediately. That hadn't been there since day two.
Okay. So we did sign the correct one. This is the one we signed, like, isn't that pure?
Right. That's the one you guys want.
That one requires that she be do her work in the commissioner's office and not.
Exactly.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. Okay.
And that copy that you guys signed, is it the recorder's office?
I'm not sure about that.
I believe it has to be recorded.
We can certainly do that.
Call recorder. Get her on hotline.
Okay.
If it's not recorded, it will be when I get back.
Okay, thank you.
And Julia wanted to speak.
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
Actually, I'm calling for Ron to apologize to Sandy. Openly, I think she deserves it, and if he has a problem with my office, he needs to come to me, and he doesn't need to be calling my people out in the middle of a meeting.
Who did I call out in the middle of a meeting?
Sandy.
When?
You just did it.
We was talking about the minutes, Jerry.
And I believe you need to apologize to her.
And that's your opinion.
I guess that's
well, if you don't, then that shows what kind of person you actually are.
Do you have something to say?
Not on this topic before you quit. Yeah.
Okay, we have opinion. Apology is in order from Ron to Sandy.
I've told Sandy that she is my most favorite person in the building. I've known Sandy for 50 years. I have all the respect.
Well, then you need to treat her like she's your most favorite person.
Like I said, I've known her for 50 years. She's my most favorite person in the building.
That hurts my feelings.
Pardon?
That hurts my feelings.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all we wanted to hear. Thank you.
All I can say is that I believe we should all treat each other as we'd like to be treated. And we all make mistakes. I've made some major ones in my life. I apologize for them. And I shouldn't say this, but the Lord has already forgiven me. Okay, you had something to say.
Yeah, Jerry, simple one.
Jim Clark, hey, I sent you quick claim deed from NDOT to the county.
Yeah.
Could you guys do you need to take a vote? Mike's probably there. It'd probably take him less than 15 minutes to do a quick claim deed from the county to Parks and Rec so they can own that parcel and then take ownership or project lead on that shelter in your house or the Orient. So do you need to do a vote to say yea, verily, we'll transfer that property to Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we would, yeah.
That's all I have a question.
Yeah, this is all in reference to the shelter house at the Overlook, Dean Buffalo Overlook. For those of you who may not remember, it was torn down a few years ago. It was in really bad shape. And we found out that it actually was owned by MDOT. There was a 1-acre parcel that had the shelter house on it. And so we couldn't do anything with it. I mean, it wasn't ours, it was MDOT's. So eventually MDOT deeded it back to the county commissioners, as I understand it. And we'd like to see that shelter house rebuilt. And I think Mark might be the guy to solicit some donors and some volunteer help. I think we might get it built for a little bit of nothing. Get somebody to saw some lumber and some people to hammer it together. Wouldn't be a great big project. So if we deed it, Parks and Rec, would you be willing to look into that, see if we can find a way to get it rebuilt?
Yeah, I definitely would. I'd have to first double check with the Parks Board to make sure that they would be willing to accept the transfer, but
yes, yeah. Okay. Well, we could pass a motion contingent on the Park Board agreeing that we transfer from the commissioners to Parks and Rec.
So moved.
Okay. I hear a second.
I would like to have more information before making a vote on giving away town property.
Okay. We're not really giving it away with the transfer of one department of government to another. So it's not like we're going to do that. I think if you have an agreement with Parks and Rec that they will accept it, which I'm pretty sure they would, but you never know. I mean, sometimes it's not in your best interest to receive a gift. Some people have tried to give you things I didn't want.
Stop that.
But we could make a motion contingent on the Park Board accepting it. So.
And I will amend my motion to reflect that.
Okay. And do I hear a second? If not, I'll second the motion. Any discussion from anyone? Commissioners? In the audience?
No.
Okay. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Staying.
Please.
Okay. Mr. President, I did have one thing. It's Scott Rudd.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
Yes, go ahead, Scott.
You know, the railroad crossing at Indian Hill Road is still up in the air. Lots of people still working on that. And then, Jerry, I don't know if you want to get it all into the meeting or previous meeting, or I can just give you kind of a recommendation, kind of why I think, you know, we should do what we should do. I'll take your lead on that. Would you like to say anything about that, or do you want to just move forward?
I think we'll just wait until a determination is made to go into it any further.
I think MDOT's still working on it, and when they get that back, that should be.
We have.
That'll be the next move.
We have MDOT, the railroad, and ourselves, and some other interested parties working on a possible agreement to do something there. So, but we don't have anything really to report at this point in time. So. Yeah. You just update us, Scott, anytime you want to. And I think when we get something more more concrete, we can bring it to the public. We are working on it. Okay. Anyone else?
May I please get a copy of what you consider the final description, job description, for the one that's online? And also a copy of the contract also.
Okay, yeah, certainly we have the contract.
Laura's got it. Laura's got it. Give me the Laura.
I wasn't sure if that was the final one they had, which was why I was questioning it.
That's the one. What the council voted on and approved, that's the final.
Well, then I'll approach the council because it's got mistakes all over it.
That'd be the way to go.
You'll need to talk to the council.
That's fine.
Okay. Randall?
Yeah, well, just one question about what Scott mentioned, the Indianville Road crossing. I understand that this Friday is the drop dead date for submitting any...
Why don't you come up to Mike? Sometimes I'll have to get away with it, they just have a couple syllables to say. We want to get you on the record.
I understand that this Friday is the final date by which any kind of pushback on the objections by INRD to the BC petition to open are possible to be submitted. Was the county prepared to submit anything else? A response to the objections submitted by railroad?
That's been in discussion.
Might be sort of a rhetorical question in the sense that if you were, then you only have a few days left to do it.
But aren't we just basically waiting for the IDOT to give their final analysis?
No, not at all. At this point, as I understand, there was a meeting between the railroad and the county. I have no idea what...
Scott, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I do. I think, and Mike, feel free to speak up here, Mike Moga. I think you're preparing a document to submit to NDOT that would rebut certain items that are in the railroad rebuttal of our petition, correct?
Yeah, so it's up to the commissioners whether or not they want to pursue, continue to pursue the petition or go with the private crossing agreement. Right now, we're commissioners are still discussing which one they would prefer. If the commissioners decide to continue to pursue with the petition, then we will write up an answer to the objection from the railroad, and we will submit that by July 28th.
Let me ask Mike a question. Mike, can you tell me then what kind of time do you anticipate having in which to craft that response? Is this Friday the last day?
So say that again, I'm sorry, I can't really hear you.
How much time does Barnes and Thornburg anticipate having to formulate a response to the objections of the railroad?
We have until July 28th, so as soon as the commissioners let us know, we'll get to working on it, we'll get to it by July 28th.
Okay, that's the date. Be careful about not exceeding.
We're on it. Mike Lubonnet. And Scott won't let us forget it, so you're good. You're in good hands.
Well, I appreciate bringing that in. And, Mr. President, if I could, one more thing.
Mr. President,
you okay with one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
You know, if July 28th is the deadline, Mike, it sounded like you may need the knob to go ahead and submit something. I just did a quick math on the calendar. It doesn't look like the commissioners are going to meet again before that deadline. Which tells me, I would just say, you know, if the commissioners are considering a private crossing agreement, Mr. President, if you wouldn't mind, I know it's been a long meeting, but just two more minutes maybe to give you kind of for my perspective on that and maybe a recommended approach to consider.
2 minutes.
Or is that preliminary?
Let me finish one thing then. My only thought is this. There's no downside to putting in the comment because you can always opt for the private agreement, okay. But you only have a little bit of time left to get that response.
Thank you. Go, Scott.
Yeah, so if the commissioners are considering, I think you are, the either continuing the NDOT petition process, which you've already started and is moving forward and looks good, or a new compromise offered by the railroad, a private crossing agreement. Here are my thoughts on the crossing agreement. I do appreciate the compromise offer from the railroad, but after further review, it looks like the impacts to our residents and our businesses, the safety to the area, and the cost and liability to the county caused me to believe pretty strongly that the county needs to continue to pursue the NDOT petition. Here's just a couple reasons why. If you would pursue a private agreement and assume that responsibility, residents would be required to engage insurance companies, which there will be an expense for to cover liability that will be shoved onto the residents for the crossing. Legal fees, we will need legal fees for the residents. There's an ongoing risk in perpetuity of losing access to their property, which diminishes property values in that area, and the ability to sell or buy homes.
safety, you know, if we put up two gates and do a private rail crossing, that's going to reduce the safety response to that area, along with some other things that what if gates are left open, which inevitably they will be by humans. And then the third, most important, is the cost of the county itself of pursuing a private rail crossing agreement. You know, the county would be most likely asked to assume all liability and indemnify the railroad for all liability at that crossing. The county would have to obtain new insurance coverage to cover those liabilities. You know, not to mention our obligation as elected officials to protect the integrity of our road network to the motoring public. And so my recommendation is to turn Mike loose, let him rebut the NDOT, the railroad rebuttal, and immediately proceed with continuing to pursue the petition to open the rail crossing as we already have it. And I would remind you that, you know, if we would have continued this path before the rail asked us to wait, we would have already had a decision by NDOT to open this road and we'd be going down the road. So we've already delayed this multiple times. We have a farmer that is chomping at the bit, is about to risk his life to get into that field. I would just urge you to, you know, because we don't have a meeting before July 28th, go ahead and make the decision. Let's move forward with this in the interest of our residents and safety and the county. And that's my recommendation. Thank you for hearing me out.
Okay, thank you. Well, we certainly are not limited to two meetings a month. I've already broken that rule. We've got a couple special meetings because things come up that need to be dealt with. And we are part-time, but I'll put in whatever it takes to make things happen for Brown County. We need to have five meetings a month. I'm up for it. Try to get everything organized. We can do it in a couple of meetings. But, I don't know if we want to vote on anything tonight on that regard, Scott. But if we need to, I'll call a special meeting before the 28th if we need to do so. And we can proceed from there. That okay?
Thank you.
Ron, is that okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Blake. Okay. Commissioners are in agreement. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else? Anything? If not, Mike Moby, you have anything legal? I know you've already earned your retainer tonight, but go ahead if you have anything.
No, well, I'll be following up on several matters the three of you.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Okay, I would entertain a motion.
Did the superintendent say all he needed to say?
I'm good.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
No, second.
All right. All favor, raise your right hand. Say aye. Aye. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you for patience. When you get in, 2 hours just to drop it. Yeah, I mean it.